This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله الذي جعل الدين مراتب ودرجات وصير للعلم به أصولا ومهمات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله حقا وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صدقا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Dear respective brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be going through the kitab Al-Adab Al-Ashrah بإذن الله تعالى today in the next two lessons. And I want to mention a couple of things, inshallah ta'ala, before we start. The first thing that I want to mention is, brothers and sisters, that al-ilmu, that knowledge is very difficult. Knowledge is difficult and it requires a lot of patience. I remember a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months actually, in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid, when we were studying with a sheikh called Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, when he saw some of the students dazing off, and he sensed from them that they may have been finding what he was saying very difficult. The Sheikh mentioned a very, very powerful statement that really, really touched me. And he said, "Al-ilmu sa'ab." Seeking knowledge, attaining it, is something very difficult. And it requires a lot of patience. وَيَحْتَاجُ إِلَى صَبْرٍ. It requires a lot of patience. And the reality of the matter is that most people are not patient. And this is why only a few people, they become scholars. To be able to sit down in halaqat for hours and to take what the teacher is saying and then to go and implement and to call to it, and then all the other, the harm that is going to come your way, is something that a lot of people are not willing to buy into. And that's the sad reality. It is difficult. Most people are not patient. Look how patient we are when it comes to maybe attaining parts of the dunya. How many hours we will work? How many hours we will work for that disbeliever in order to get a few pounds and pennies? But when it comes to knowledge, most people are not willing to go out their way to do so. This is why you find that there's so much jahl in our communities. There's so much ignorance in our communities because most people are not patient. Another time when I was in Yemen, another sheikh of mine, he mentioned something similar to this, Sheikh Muhammad bin Hizam. This individual, brothers and sisters, he's memorized a lot. He memorized Bukhari, he memorized Muslim, he memorized Riyad al-Salihin, he memorized Bulugh al-Maram, he memorized Alfi ibn Malik, Alfiyat al-Iraqi, and other mutun that the Sheikh he memorized. And he used to advise students, he used to say, brothers, memorize. It is very easy for a person to attend this halaqa, to attend that halaqa, and to maybe go to that halaqa. But you find that most people, they don't memorize. Why? Because memorizing is tough. Memorizing is very, very tough. And most people are not ready to do that because of the difficulty they go through. He said that an old woman, an old grandpa, a grandma, a young person, everybody is able to go and attend the halaqat. But because memorization is very difficult, they are not willing to go them lengths to go and try and obtain this knowledge. So, brothers and sisters, it's going to be very tough in the next 2 days. It's very, very intensive. It's very, very intensive, and most people are going to struggle to be patient. And if you feel like that you can't bear the heat in the kitchen, then the least you could do is try to maybe sit down and try to get the reward of the sitting. Because I'm sure most of you don't know the immense reward that a person can obtain through attending the gatherings of knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, "Inna lillahi malaika sayyahin fudla." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels that tread and roam around the earth. يَتَتَبَّعُونَ مَجَالِسَ الذِّكْرِ. What do? They search for gatherings of knowledge. They search for gatherings of knowledge. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of the hadith, the malaika, they will say, يَقُولُونَ فِيهِمْ عَبْدٌ
There is amongst them a servant. إِنَّمَا مَرَّ فَجَلَسَ. This servant, he walked past and then he sat down. Then look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. قَالَ فَيَقُولُ وَلَهُ غَفَرْتُ وَهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يُشْخَى بِهِمْ جَلِيسُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this hadith, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is quoting it. This individual who just went past and he sat down, inform him that I have forgiven him just because he went and he sat down in a sitting. A person might be very sinful. He has sins. He may have engaged in filth and other transgressions of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he went and sat down, it was the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَا اجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. Never is there a time where the people, they gather, reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sitting down amongst themselves, reciting the book of Allah azza wa jal. What happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down upon them tranquility and mercy. And what also will happen is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention these people by name amongst those that are with him from the angels. Your name is being mentioned in the gatherings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the malaika by Allah azza wa jal. And also what will happen, the angels, they will come and they will surround these people. Also another point that I wanted to mention inshallah ta'ala is أهميّة كتابة العلم. To write down the knowledge that is being taught. أنا والله شخصياً, it really, really astonishes me. Unless those who attend the gatherings are as strong as Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, and they are able to absorb the knowledge that's being mentioned, and for them to automatically straight away memorize it and keep it in their minds, that a person, he hears all these hadith, all this knowledge being mentioned, but then he doesn't write it down. The sha'ir, the poet, he said, العلم صيد والكتابة قيده. قيد صيودك بالحبل الواثقة ومن الحماقة أن تصيد غزالة فتتركها بين الخلائق طالقة. The ilm is like صيد, that which is captured is like the fish that you go and you try to fish out of the sea, or is like the creature that a person goes and hunts, a hunting animal. والكتابة قيده, and writing it down is like tying that hunting animal. When you go and hunt and then you capture it, what happens? You have to try and tie it, right? Otherwise someone else is going to come and take it. قَيِّ صُيُودَكَ بِالْحَبْلِ الْوَاثِقَةِ. Then the poet, he said, tie the animal that you hunted with a rope so that it remains with you. And then he says, from stupidity, وَمِنَ الْحَمَاقَةِ أَن تَصِيرَ غَزَالَةِ, that you go and you hunt an animal, a rain, and then what do? That you leave it amongst the people, just like that. You leave it abandoned amongst the people. We know very well that someone's going to come, might take it, an animal might come, start eating into it, but try and write it down. I'm going to ask a question. Who was the companion who knew the most hadith? Abdullah. The companion who knew the most hadith. Huh? Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Na'am, rightfully so. But before he became the top of the companions from those who memorized the hadith, there was an individual who knew more hadith. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he testified to this. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has a whole chapter in al-Sahih, Babu Kitabat al-Ilm, the chapter of writing down knowledge. The chapter of writing down knowledge. And then he uses as proof the statement of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, مَا كَانَ أَحَدٌ أَكْثَرَ حَدِيثٍ مِنِّي. Nobody knew more hadith than me. إِلَّا مَا كَانَ مِنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنَ عَمْرِ بْنَ عَاصِ. Except one person, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. Why? فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَكْتُبُ وَلَا أَكْتُبُ. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, he used to write down the hadith. He used to write down the hadith, but Abu Hurairah said, I never used to write down the hadith. But because he did, he ended up accumulating so many hadith. But that was before the Prophet ﷺ made dua for Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once the Prophet made dua for Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the companion who knew the most hadith because of the fact that he used to write it. Because of the fact that he used to write it. Before we, inshallah ta'ala, get into the book, I'm going to mention the importance of al-ikhlas, of sincerity. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, we might sit here for a couple of hours and then we come on Yawm al-Qiyam, we have absolutely nothing. We have absolutely nothing. Why? Because a simple component that the Sharia has come to inform us about time and time again. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. What surah is that in? Huh? لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ سُورَةُ الْبَيِّنَةِ. Most of our youngsters today have memorized the surah. You weren't commanded except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what? With sincerity. We might say for a couple of hours, but because of the wrong reasons. Maybe we came here because Hoya or Abba, they forced us. And we can't bear sitting here. We are sitting here by force. Or maybe because my friends are sitting in the masjid today, I'm just going to come along as well, and I'm going to sit there. I'm not here for the right reason as to why I'm listening to this knowledge. Or for whatever other reason that a person might have. Today you find people, they fast, or they might pray because, you know, mommy and uncle is looking at me. Because of that, I'm going to try and up my game. Or a person, he fasts, why? Because he wants to gain good health. But not because he wants to seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ فِي رِوَايَةٍ بِالنِّيَّةِ أي لا يُقْبَلُ أَيُّ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا بِنِيَّةِ. No action is going to be accepted from you except if you have the right intention. Except if you have, brothers and sisters, the right intention. So this is why the Salaf, and I'm going to mention some quotations with Allah Ta'ala from them as well, of how they used to struggle so much to try and make their intentions sincere as much as possible. If this is them, the best of the crop, the creme of the crop, as they say, we're struggling. Where do any of us stand? Where? Me and you, Masakin people who have been brought up in England, nurtured upon chicken and chips. Where do we stand? I remember Sheikh Sulaiman al-Rahili in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam masjid, right at the end, and subhanAllah, this really, really touched me. He's sitting on the chair and he was talking about the ikhlas, and he mentioned, brothers and sisters, brothers, me sitting on this chair, I'm striving against myself. I'm really, really working hard against myself, sitting on this chair, trying to remain as sincere as possible. Because this is one of the madakhil, one of the ways that the shaitan, he enters upon an individual. He sees that a lot of people are flocking around him, for him to think to himself, khalas, you know, I'm a very, very high individual with a great status now. And then he says things to try and impress the hadirin, those who are present. Sheikh Saleh bin Abdullah bin Hamad al-Usaymi, again from our teachers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam masjid, he mentioned his kitab, Ta'zeem al-Ilm, fil ma'qad al-thani. He mentions 20 points in that book. In the second point, he says, وَمَا سَبَقَ مَنْ سَبَقَ وَلَا وَصَلَ مَنْ وَصَلَ مِنَ السَّلَفِ إِلَّا بِالْإِخْلَاصِ. None of those before us, from the Salaf al-Salihin, the three golden generations. And when I say Salaf al-Salihin, I intend by it what? The three golden generations. The Sahaba, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'u al-Tabi'in. Those who the Prophet said, خَيْرُكُمْ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of you is my generation. He's talking to the companions. Then those who came after and those who came after them. He said, وَمَا سَبَقَ مَنْ سَبَقَ. None of them excelled to where they reached, the status they gained. And none of them reached where they reached except because of the ikhlas, the sincerity they had. Except of the sincerity they had. Abu Bakr al-Marrudi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, سَمِعْتُ رَجُلًا يَقُولْ يَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ أَحْمَدِ بْنِ حَنْبَلْ. He said that he heard a man say to Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the great Imam. He mentioned two things to him, as-sidkhu wal-ikhlas. He mentioned the issue of truthfulness and also being sincere in knowledge. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, he responded, replied back, and he said, "Bihadha irtafa'a al-qawm." These people who preceded us before us, they never reached where they reached except through what? Sincerity and also being truthful in what they were doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them because of this. Also, Shaykh Salih Usaymin in another mawdi', he said, وَإِنَّمَا يَنَالُ الْمَرْءُ الْعِلْمَ عَلَى قَدْرِ إِخْلَاصِهِ. A person, he only attains knowledge based upon the ikhlas. So if you're half ikhlas, are you bound to get anywhere? If a person comes with full sincerity, he's bound to, because of that, based on that, he's going to obtain a lot of knowledge as well. And this statement, brothers and sisters, is very, very powerful. Sufyan al-Thawri. You don't know Sufyan al-Thawri? Kana min what? From the most tremendous of the tabi'een, Sufyan al-Thawri. He said, ma alajtu shay'an ashaddu alayya min niyati li'annaha tataqallabu alayya. I haven't tried to work on, cure, more than trying to rectify my intention. Because what? It turns from one side to the other. It keeps going back and forth. Sometimes you're sincere, but the shaitan, he whispers in your ear. This is even more powerful. Sulaiman al-Hashmi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, رُبَّمَا أُحَدِّثُ بِحَدِيثٍ وَاحِدٍ. He said, I might mention a hadith. وَلِينِي, and then I have an intention. فَإِذَا أَتَيْتُ عَلَى بَعْضِهِ تَغَيَّرَتْ نِيَّتِي. When I come to another part of the hadith, my intention begins to change. You don't know the hadith of when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended to the seven heavens, right? Isra wal Mi'raj is also known as Subhana alladhi asra bi 'abdihi layla min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. That hadith, brothers and sisters, is maybe 15 lines long, maybe a bit more than that. Look what the Sheikh is saying. It's Imam from the past. He said, I might mention a hadith, and then I have an intention at the beginning of the hadith. Then I reach maybe another part of the hadith. Let's just say, in this case, he reaches the fifth line. My intention begins to change. Maybe because so many people walked in into the masjid, and now they're sitting there, and he's trying to impress them, for whatever reason it might be. فَإِذَا الْحَدِيثُ الْوَاحِدُ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى النِّيَّةِ. So one hadith, it requires multiple intentions. Just for one hadith. Imagine a whole lecture that a person gives. How many times the shaitan might enter upon him? So this is why, brothers and sisters, they say about this hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ هَذَا الْحَدِيثُ ثُلُثُ الْعِلْمِ. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, this hadith is a third of knowledge. وَيَدْخُلُ فِي سَبْعِينَ بَابًا مِنَ الْفِقْهِ. And it enters into 70 different chapters of al-fiqh. When you look at salah, if a person doesn't have the correct intention, is salah going to get accepted? Okay, I'm going to ask a question now. He had the correct intention when he's entering into the salat. How many raka'at? Let's just say dhuhr. 4 raka'at. 2, he had a correct intention. Then he reached the other 2 raka'at. And then his intention, why? Because Hoya was there. And she promised him, if you pray, you know, I'm going to give you maybe £10, £15, £20. His mum walked in. She wasn't there. He's praying. He's trying to do it for Allah Azza wa Jal. And Hoya's there now. She's watching him. Perfects his prayer. Raf'u liyadayn, like that. And then like this. And then he goes up. And then he's not praying like, you know, how the Ferrari moves. He is doing it with prostration. He's taking his time. You know the video that goes around every now and again in Ramadan, where these people are playing Ferrari, Taraweeh, they're going up and down, everybody's laughing. That's how he would normally pray, maybe, if nobody's watching him. But then, oh yeah, he's just doing it, trying to perfect his prayer. Is the salah accepted? When he was sincere for 2 of them, but then the other 2, he wasn't sincere. Huh? Why not? Because the salah is connected. These raka'at are connected. If it was independent, maybe let's just say you prayed 2 raka'at of al-fajr. I'm talking about the sunnah that you pray before fajr. He was sincere. And then the other 2 that he prays behind the imam, the wajib prayer, he's not sincere in it. Then maybe we say to him that the first 2 raka'at were accepted, but the other 2 wasn't. Why? Because they are disconnected. Likewise, when you pay £500, you put it in the sadaqah box. And that's sincere. You do that with sincerity. But then the other 500, you saw a couple of people watching, and then he does this. And he puts it into the sadaqah box. This 500 is not going to be accepted. The first one got to accept, the other one. But if the ibadah is connected, then we know that duhr prayer is not 2 rak'ah, is it? It's 2 rak'ah. Of course it's not. It's 4 rak'ah. And it's a connected ibadah. طيب. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he said pertaining this hadith, Usulul Islami ala thalathati hadith. The fundamentals of Islam revolve around 3 hadith. First one's hadith Umar, innama al-amalu binniyat. Second one, hadith Aisha. Your intention, brothers and sisters, is important. Every ibadah, every step that you take, every move that you make, you need an intention for when you are doing the ibadah. Otherwise, you're not getting nothing. You're wasting your time. This is how we should look at it, brothers and sisters. We are wasting our time. Maybe we could try and maybe, you know, change our intentions in whatever situation it might be. The second one, hadith Aisha. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَوْرَدٍ. Whoever does an action is not from our affairs, then what? It will be rejected. That action that you're doing, it, if it's not in accordance to how the Prophet done it, is being rejected from you. And then the third hadith, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيْنُ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيْنُ. Halal is clear, haram is clear. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أَمُورُ مُشْتَبِهَاتٍ. But between it is some grey areas. Some grey areas in between that which is halal and that which is haram. Now, inshallah ta'ala, brothers and sisters, I'm going to go into fi fadl al-adab, the ahadith. We still haven't entered into the book here, by the way. These are just muqaddimat. Ahadith fi fadl al-adab. Some ahadith showing us the virtue of al-adab. Because, brothers and sisters, something I have come across a lot is a person, he might be seeking knowledge and he might attain a lot of knowledge. He's sincere what he's doing. But he doesn't go and learn manners and etiquettes. These might be people who have memorized quite a lot. And now because of his bad etiquettes and bad manners, what happens? When he goes back to his country, let's say he's in Medina or he went to Al-Yemen to study, he goes back to his city, because of his bad dealings and his bad etiquettes, it causes the people to turn away from him in totality. Imagine, brothers and sisters, you've memorized Bukhari and Muslim, the two most authentic books, min kutubillah, after Kitab Allah Azza wa Jal, after the Quran, the most authentic book. He goes back to his city, goes back to his country. But because of the way he speaks to the people, the way he carries himself, the way he adorns himself, it is the most disgusting. You think the people are going to accept from him? Of course they're not going to accept from him. A person is doing something wrong, you shout in his face, akhi, what are you doing? That's not the way to go about it. And etiquette and manners teaches that. Especially if you find that a person now is falling short from the basic of etiquette, all that knowledge that a person may have is going to go down the drain. It's going to go down the drain because of the lack of seriousness that people are going to have with him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith Abi Darda that was narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, ma min shay'in yudha'u fil mizan athqalu min husn al khuluq. There isn't anything, brothers and sisters, that is placed on the mizan, on the scale of Yawm al-Qiyamah, that is more heavier than having what? Good etiquettes. وَإِنَّ صَاحِبَ حُسْنِ الْخُلُخِ لَيَبْلُغُ بِهِ دَرَجَةِ صَاحِبِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّوْمِ. Just having great, good etiquettes and manners, because of that, you could reach the level of an individual who has many salawat, a guy who prays all the time, or a guy who fasts all the time, because of the husn al-khuluq, the good etiquette and the good manners that a person comes with. We know in Yawm al-Qiyamah, brothers and sisters, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned another hadith, إِنَّهُ لَيَأْتِ الرَّجُلَ عَظِيمُ السَّمِينَ. Yawm al-Qiyamah, لَا يَزِنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحُ بَعُوضًا. A big fat hench guy is brought on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He's placed on the scale. Then he won't weigh the weight of the wing of a mosquito. See the guy now today, when he goes to the gym, right? He's so big, so hench. He's carrying 120, 140, 50 kilos. He's so strong that he can even bend the bar in the middle. That's how strong he is. And there's a fitna that we have today. A fitna that we have today. We have left off, turned away from what? trying to rectify our inner self, trying to work on our etiquettes, trying to work on our manners. But we're so busy, the sister, she wakes up in the morning and she spends maybe 2-3 hours trying to put makeup and beautify her outer appearance just so she could get a few likes on her Instagram page. Tell the brothers, come forward. All of you lot youngsters, come forward as much as possible, inshallah. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Likewise, the guy spends 8-9 hours in the gym a day. That's how big he's become now. Yawm al-Qiyamah, you could be brought because of your lack of actions and your heart also being corrupt. You get absolutely nothing. This big fat man now, wench, that everybody's trying to be like, they're working so hard to get the muscles, nothing. And husn al-khuluq, having good etiquettes and manners, is a means of what? Having a very, very what? Great day on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned another hadith, إِنَّ مِنْ أَحَبِّكُمْ إِلَيَّ وَأَقْرَبَكُمْ مِنِّي مَجْلِسًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَحَاسِنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. The most beloved to me on Yawm al-Qiyamah and the most closest to me. Pay attention, brothers and sisters, for something very minor. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, those who are going to sit the closest to me on Yawm al-Qiyamah, those who have the best etiquettes and manners. وَإِنَّ أَبْغَضَكُمْ. For indeed those who are most hatred to me, those who I despise the most, who أَبْعَدَكُمْ مِنِّي مَجْلِسًا, and those who are going to be furthest away from me, they're not going to be sitting near me. On يوم القيامة الثرثارون والمتشدقون والمتفيهقون. So the companions, they said, يا رسول الله, قالوا يا رسول قد علمنا الثرثارون والمتشدقون. The Tharthar, brothers and sisters, the arrogant individual. The individual is arrogant. Later on, I'm going to talk about. Also in Usul al-Sitta, and also inshallah ta'ala, when we reach the last point of Adab al-Ashra. How sometimes arrogance causes a person not to seek knowledge. Think to himself that he knows it all. Or maybe because that he's the person that's teaching, or he feels like he's older than him. Or I've been studying a few years, I'm not in need of what he's teaching, and so on and so forth. How this is a mani azim, and you will find it is so common amongst the people. فَمَا الْمُتَفَيْهِقُونَ. The mutafayhiq is the individual who is mutakabbir. The individual who is someone that is arrogant. Sorry, the tharthar, afwan. الثرثارون هو الكثير الكلام. The person who is tharthar. He is the individual who has a lot of speech, just talks. The individual who just talks all the time. That's the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to push you away from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. والمتشدق, the individual who is a mutashaddiq, he is الذي يتطاول على الناس في الكلام. The one who is very boisterous in his speech. In the way he speaks to the people, he makes himself higher than the others. Some of you kids will agree, right? When it comes to school and when it comes to some of these people that, you know, are trying to get rights inside your classroom, just the way they speak to the people to make other people scared. يتطاول على الناس. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated a hadith that is found in a Tirmidhi. قال سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أكثر ما يدخل الناس الجنة. He said the Prophet was asked, what is that which causes the people to enter into al-Jannah the most? He mentioned two things. تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. Having taqwa and also having good manners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with one particular thing. Does anybody know what he praised him with? Huh? The akhlaq. Jazakallah khair Muhammad. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. For indeed you have a lofty and great mannerism. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when this verse is found in the Quran, right? This verse is found in the Quran. The companions, obviously, they want to know now. They want to try and be like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, everybody is trying to be like Messi and Ronaldo, Kanye West. This is the reality. Wallahi, our hairs are becoming like them. The way we dress, the way we move, the way we make our haircuts. The companions, when there was an ayah pertaining to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, specifically, they would try and inquire about it. They want to be like him. They want every cause that they could take in order to accompany the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَالْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Prophet said, a person, he's going to be with the one that he loves on Yawm al-Qiyamah. You love Messi and Ronaldo, there's a high possibility you're going to be with him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. You like these pop stars, you like Kanye West, you like these other people as well that today have brainwashed the people. You're most likely to be gathered on Yawm al-Qiyamah with them. You like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah you're going to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look now, what Sa'd ibn Hisham, from the Tabi'een, he went to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he asked her, أخبرني عن خلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Tell me of the etiquette and manners of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. كان خلقه القرآن. Aisha replied back and she said, his خلق, his etiquette with the Quran. He didn't just read it. He didn't just read it like حروف الهجائية. Or with a very nice voice. لا. Rather, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came with the Quran, he would what? Implement it as clearly as possible. A verse came down, leave this, everybody would leave it. Now I want to move on, inshallah ta'ala, as-salafu ma'al adabi qabla al-ilm. How the salaf, three golden generations, what they used to give more concern to when they went to go and seek knowledge. When they went to go and seek knowledge. Brothers and sisters, Salafiyya, and people tend to get the wrong impression of it all the time. And when this word Salafi is used, people tend to become allergic to hearing the word Salafi. When we say Salaf, brothers and sisters, I always tell the people, do not look at Fulan and Fulan that is currently living today. Why? Because of his bad etiquette, people will think that this is the religion. Or this is what a Salaf means. Rather, when we say Salaf, as I mentioned, the three golden generations, we look at the Aqeedah. We look at what? The also the Aqwal, the Af'al, the Akhlaq, the Mu'amalat, the etiquette, how they dealt with one another. Any action that we do, any statement that we say, we always take it back. How did they say it? How did they do it? What they believed. It's like a house. Salafiyya is like a house. The foundation of it is the Aqeedah. That you have the correct belief, and it's very important to have the correct belief. Then you have the other components in the house. The akhlaq is like the bathroom, then you have the aqwal, which is like the living room, and so on and so forth. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? So in anything that we do, that we try to look at their situation. Today a guy, he jumps up and down about a Salafiyya, as if it's a football team. As if it is a football team. But then what happens? His akhlaq is the most disgusting. He calls to it, he wants to follow it, but his akhlaq is the worst and the most disgusting you will find. And this has nothing to do with Salafiyya. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, you don't know Imam Malik? Imam Malik, when you hear the four imma, the four great imma, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmed, one of them was Imam Malik. He said to his mom, قلت لأمي أذهب فأكتب العلم. I'm going to go and I'm going to note down the knowledge that is being spread in the masjid. So look what she done. فألبستني ثيابا مشمرة ووضعت الطويلة على رأسي وعممتني فوقها. When he said this to his mom, what did she do? She went and clothed him with a very nice, you know, with a very nice type of clothing that she had for him. And she placed a hat on top of his head. And then she also put an imam on him. This is encouragement for the parents. If you see that khair within your student, sorry, within your child, that you try to encourage him, that you try to maybe adorn him. So when she done this, he said, ثُمَّ قَالْ أَذْهَبُ فَاكْتُبُ الْآنِ. I'm going to go now, I'm going to write. In another place, قال رحمه الله, كانت أمي تعممني وتقول لي اذهب إلى ربيعة فتعلم من أدبي قبل علمه. His mom, she used to place an imam on him when he was going out to the حلق العلم. And she would say to him, go learn the etiquette of ربيعة before you take from his knowledge. Before you take from his knowledge, go take from his etiquette first. Ismail ibn Ulayya mentioned something very powerful as well. Listen up to this. كان يجتمع في مجلس أحمد نحو 5,000. 5,000 people used to attend the gatherings of Imam Ahmed, the student of Imam Shafi rahimahullah. Imam Shafi was a teacher of Imam Ahmed. 5,000 used to go. Oh, Yazid, or even more than that. نحو 500 يكتبون. Only 500 of them, they used to write down the knowledge that he was spreading, that which was coming out of his mouth. والباقون يتعلمون منه حسن الأدب. The rest of them, 4,500 now. How many are there? 5,000, right? What were 500 doing? Huh? The one on the red top. They were writing down what? Pythagoras' theorem. Huh? What the Imam was saying, the knowledge that he was giving. 4,500, what are the rest doing? They are just trying to learn from his adab, the way he carries himself, how he speaks, how he adorns himself with these lofty, great etiquettes and mannerisms. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, from the most tremendous of the tabi'in, look what he said. You know, earlier I gave an example, right? A guy, he goes all the way, he memorizes Bukhari and Muslim, and then he comes back here. And then the way he deals with the people is the most disgusting. And all that knowledge that takes years to study goes down the drain. Imagine you've been working so hard, secondary school. Then you went into college. Then you went to university. Then you've done your master's. Then you've done your PhD as well. And then all of a sudden something happens and your PhD gets taken away from you. All your qualifications. You've wasted your life, isn't it? You can have a lot of issues. And that's exactly in this scenario as well. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he said, نَحْنُ إِلَىٰ قَلِيلٍ مِّنَ الْأَدَبِ أَحْوَجُ مِنَّا إِلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ. We are in need of just small amounts of mannerism and etiquette, then we need so much of knowledge. So much of knowledge. Because of what could take place later on due to your lack of manners and your bad etiquette. Abdullah ibn Mubarak in another place he said, مَنْ تَهَاوَنَ بِالْأَدَبِ عُوْقِبَ بِحِرْمَانِ السُّنَنِ. Whoever now takes learning mannerism and etiquette lightly, the one who takes that lightly, عُوْقِبَ بِحِرْمَانِ السُّنَنِ, he is going to be punished by being prevented of being to put the sunan, the supererogatory, the voluntary acts into practice. Sometimes a person, he tells me, أخي والله I'm struggling really hard to maybe wake up for Qiyam al-Layl or to do my sunan. Like I want to pray, I want to be from those who accompany the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the more sujood you have, the more of a chance you have of accompanying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They came in the hadith of Rabi' ibn Ka'b al-Aslami. He said, فَأَعِنِي عَلَى نَفْسِ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُود. You want to be from those who accompany, be someone who has many sujood. You find sometimes difficulty in not being able to establish these fada'il, these great virtues. Maybe it's because of the lack of manners, as his great imam he mentioned. وَمَنْ تَهَاوَنَ بِالسُّنَنِ عُوْقِبَ بِحِرْمَانِ الْفَرَائِدِ. It just doesn't stop there. Whoever now starts taking the sunan lightly, what happens? He's going to be prevented from being able to establish the what? The wajibah, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made as an obligation upon you. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? The moment that happens, you are on your way to destruction. You left of your wajibat, you are on your way to destruction. وَمَنْ تَهَاوَنَ بِالْفَرَائِدُ عُوْقِ بِحِرْمَانِ الْمَعْرِفِ. Whoever begins to now take these faraid lightly, عُوْقِ بِحِرْمَانِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ. He's going to be now punished by not being able to have ma'rifa with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does ma'rifa mean? To know Allah Azza wa Jal. Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned something very similar. كَانُوا يَتَعَلَّمُونَ الْهَدْيَ كَمَا يَتَعَلَّمُونَ الْعِلْمِ. They used to learn hadi. And hadi in this case, brothers and sisters, it means as-sakinat wal-waqar. Sakinat wal-waqar, yani calmness. You know how to carry yourself accordingly. Husnul hay'a, and so on and so forth. The appearance of how a person should carry himself when it comes to knowledge. Ibrahim al-Nakhi'a, again from the Tabi'een, he said, كَانُوا إِذَا أَتَوَ الرَّجُلَ لِيَأْخُذُوا عَنْهُ نَظَرُوا إِلَىٰ سَمْتِهِ. If they came to a man that they wanted to take knowledge from, they would look at what? What does samt mean? Does anybody know? Huh? That's one of the meanings. Anybody know what samt means? Say Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam is nisful knowledge. If you don't know Allah, Allahu A'lam. Abdullah Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he say, man kana ya'lamu shay'an falyakul bih. Wa man kana la ya'lamu falyakul Allahu A'lam. You know something, speak. You don't know something, then say Allahu A'lam. Nobody plays the obligation upon you to speak. أنا أذكر هذا, I'm mentioning his brother and says, we want this to be a lesson of tarbiyah as well. Today you find any Dom, Dick and Harry sitting in the cafe, he's eating his panin and his shahi, and he's just speaking about the religion. Saying whatever he wants. Making takfir, this guy's kafir, this guy's an innovator. The Somali president, no, he's not a Muslim, he's a kafir. This, like speaking about matters that maybe the companions would have brought together, the kibar of the sahaba, just to make a decision. Like a doctor now, I'm going to ask you a question. Anybody here? Does anybody here have a qualification in medicine? Come on, guys, man. We should be like, you know, getting these qualifications, becoming academics and, you know. Come. Come as forward as possible. Do you have back problems? Huh? A little bit, yeah? Wadukhud, yeah? Became old. Please, brothers, come as close as possible. The other thing I want to ask you is, how far was Jibreel when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How far was he? Huh? Adiga? Yes? Huh? But I said, how far though? How far was he? Huh? Knees, you're very right. I'm just playing around with you. His knees, فَأَسْنَدْ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ. He connected his knees to his knees. That's how close he was when it came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is exactly what we learn from it. We learn from it, as we're going to take later on as well, what? That we try to get as close as possible in the khutbah. I'm sorry for picking on you. You know, don't stand outside the masjid later on and try to trip me over. So, ash-shahidu min al-kalam, I was mentioning a point. What was I mentioning? As-samt. As-samt, brothers and sisters, is the way a person carries himself. The way he adorns himself. The way he speaks. The etiquettes that he beautifies himself with. They used to try and take from his samt. And they would be sitting there just, okay, if that was okay, then after that we're going to take knowledge from him. Abdullah ibn Wahab, look what he said about Imam Malik. What did we say about Imam Malik earlier? What did his mom used to say to him? What did his mom say to him when he wanted to go and seek knowledge? Who? Who did I mention? Rabi'a. Jazakallah khair. His mom said to Imam Malik, rahimahullah, when he was young and he wanted to go, learn from his etiquette before you learn from his ilm. Now he stood and look what he says about his teacher. مَا تَعَلَّمْنَا مِنْ أَدَبِ مَالِكٍ أَكْثَرُ مَا تَعَلَّمْنَا مِنْ عِلْمِهِ. We never learned from Imam Malik. That which we learn from his manners, more than what we learn from his knowledge. Last thing I'm going to conclude with, inshallah ta'ala, before we get into the book. You know, I've heard time and time again, in cafes as well, some of our Somali cafes, the gal, you know, the galki, the disbeliever. MashaAllah, his akhlaq is so good. His akhlaq is better than the Muslimin. This requires a tafsil. And it's a very, very dangerous statement. To say that a disbeliever has better etiquette and manners than the Muslim. This is a bit of a problem. And I'll tell you why. Because al-akhlaq, mannerism, etiquette, is split into two categories. الأخلاق مع الله سبحانه وتعالى your etiquette and manners of Allah عز وجل and also your etiquette and manners with the people as Ibn Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى in his kitab مكارم الأخلاق he mentions and it's very very important why? Because what is more important than the أخلاق that you have with the people your interactions is the أخلاق with Allah سبحانه وتعالى how can a person have good manners with Allah عز وجل by establishing a توحيد This girl now, this disbeliever, who is saying that your Lord is thalatha. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٍ. Or that your Lord has a child. Had a good etiquette? This guy has good akhlaq? Of course he doesn't have good akhlaq. He has the worst and the most disgusting akhlaq. But again, at the same time, the individual with his other mates and his brothers and his sisters and the people, he should have good etiquette as well. So if you want to say now that subjectively, this individual has better etiquette when it comes to mu'amalat, and rightfully so. Sometimes some of the disbelievers, they've got better etiquette than us Muslims. They stick to their words. And we might not do that. But to say unrestrictedly, أَنَّ أَخْلَاقَهُ أَحْسَن مِنْ أَخْلَاقِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, this is a very dangerous statement. Because this man is upon kufr and shirk. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, I was only sent to establish the lofty characteristics. Did he only mean only my interaction and my characteristic with the people? La wallahi. He didn't mean that. What he meant by it is the etiquette that one should have with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because this was the biggest problem with Quraysh. This was the biggest problem with the Quraysh. Where they tried to place wasa'it. Between them and Allah Azza wa Jal, they would place what? Deities in between them and Allah Azza wa Jal. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? So al-akhlaqu ma'a Allah, you have good etiquette with Allah Azza wa Jal. You learn your religion. You learn how to worship Allah subhanahu, how to establish a tawheed. And also what you take seriously is the akhlaq that you have with the creation, which is a means of you, what? Being close with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tafadhal Muhammad.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والمتمسكون بهديه إلى يوم الدين والمتمسكين بهديه إلى يوم الدين. قال الشيخ صالح بن عبد الله العصيمي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اعلم هداني الله وإياك لأحسن الأخلاق أن من أعظم الآداب عشرة. The Shaykh starts by saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Especially Merciful. I'lam, know, hadani Allahu wa iyyak, may Allah guide me and yourself, li ahsanil akhlaq, towards upright moral conduct. Anna min a'zamil adab asharatan, that from the greatest of etiquettes are ten.
Good. The Mu'allif Rahimahullah Ta'ala, or the Musannif, the author of the Kitab, his name is Sheikh Salih bin Abdullah bin Hamad al-Usaymi. He is one of the teachers, brothers and sisters, in the Prophet's Masjid. He comes every year and he goes through 16 books in 8 days. It is one of the most intensive programs you're going to find on the face of this earth. 16 books in 8 days. If you think that this is intensive, brothers and sisters, go and check that out. Hundreds of students are sitting in the Prophet's Masjid min ba'd al-fajri, from ba'd al-fajr, which is around 5 o'clock, all the way till 9, 10 a.m. Everybody goes to sleep, then they come back after Asr. Asr is around there, 3 o'clock. From 3 all the way sometimes till the Masjid al-Nabawi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Masjid is closed, they are sitting there. He goes through book after book after book. You get tired, what do the people do, you think? They stand up and they stretch. They're standing there while the sheikh is still going on with his lesson. Hundreds of students come just to attend this dawra from around Saudi Arabia, from around the Khalij, the Gulf areas. People come as far from different countries. People from Britain came to take part in that dawra of Sheikh Salih al-Usaymi. Became very, very famous. And he went through this year as well. And one of the books that he has in his kitab, Muhimmatul Ilm, is his kitab, Al-Adabul Ashara, which is 10 etiquettes. Reason why I chose this, brothers and sisters, I think etiquette is very, very important. Most of you will agree. Now that you've heard everything that we have gone through. He says, I'lam. He starts off firstly with the Basmala. Anybody know what the Basmala is? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ابتدأ المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى بالبسملة اقتداء بكتاب الله العزيز واقتداء بنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن جاء بعده. The مؤلف, the author رحمه الله تعالى, he started off with the basmala in imitation to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started his book with the basmala, and also in imitation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the prophets before him and those who came after him. When Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam wrote a letter to Malik Saba, the queen of Saba at a time. Saba, by the way, there's a whole chapter in the Quran that has been dedicated to the city of Saba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed this nation. There was a time when Allah Azza destroyed this nation. لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَأٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٌ جَنَّتَانِ عَنْ يَمِينٍ وَالشِّمَالِ. This city, the people of that city, they were living the life. They had ni'mah fawqa ni'mah, blessing above blessing. They had gardens on their right, gardens on their left. كُلُوا مِنْ رِزْخِ رَبِّكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ. All Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to do was eat from your provision and be thankful. كُلُوا مِنْ رِزْخِ رَبِّكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ وَبَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبُّ غَفُورٌ. That's all that was asked from them, to be thankful. فَأَعْرَضُوا فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَيْلَ الْعَرْمِ وَبَدَّلْنَاهُمْ بِجَنَّتَيْهِمْ جَنَّتَيْنِ ذَوَاتَيْ أُكُلٍ خَمْتٍ وَأَثْلٍ وَشَيْءٍ مِنْ سِدْرٍ قَلِيلٍ ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَفَرُوا وَهَلْ نُجَازِي إِلَى الْكَفُورِ. What did they do? Long story cut short, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon them a sail. How do you say sail in the English language again? When water comes, takes them on. Huh? Sorry? Flood, that's the word now. Send a flood upon them, and all their gardens and the blessings that they were living with, what happened? It got destroyed. ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَفَرُوا. We rewarded them for their disbelief and their ungratefulness. They were ungrateful. All that was asked, be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. They disbelieved, they were ungrateful, and Allah subhanahu destroyed everything. So there was a time in Saba, there was this lady who was a queen there. قالت يا أيها الملأ إني ألقي إلي كتاب كريم. If you look in Surah An-Naml, I'm not here to give a tafsir on Surah An-Naml. Hudhud, the bird, was roaming around on a normal day, and he went and he saw that this individual, this woman, she was running an empire. So later on, when Hudhud came back, he told Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So I'm sure, you know, some of you who came yesterday, Ustad Abdul Rahman, he mentioned some stuff regarding it. Sulaiman, after he straightened out his jaysh, his army, he couldn't find Hudhud. He asked about Hudhud, and he wasn't there. And he said, لَوْ عَذِّبَنَّ وَعَذَابًا شَدِينًا أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّ وَلَيَأْتِينَا بِسُلْطَانِ الْمُبِينِ. Either I'm going to destroy him, I'm going to slaughter him, I'm going to punish him for not being present today, or he's going to come with a hujjah. He's going to come with a reason as to why he's absent today. So the long story cut short, when he came back, he told Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam that he saw a woman and so on and so forth, and she's running an empire. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he wrote a letter to this queen. قالت يا أيها الملو إني ألقي إلي كتاب كريم إنه من سليمان وإنه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا تعلو علي وأتوني مسلمين. He wrote a letter to her. So when she was reading the letter, the first thing that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam started that letter off with was the Bismillah. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ابتدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تلاوة للقرآن وكتابته للرسائل وعقود بين الناس. The contract he used to have when he used to start reading the Quran, also the letters that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to send, he would start with the Bismillah. And the proof of this is Hadith Anas Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, "Bayna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that yawman aghfa ighfa'ah." There was a time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with us, and then all of a sudden his head just dropped. Thumma rafa ra'sahu mutabassima. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his head while he was smiling. Faqulna ma adhakak. What makes you laugh? What makes you smile? He said, "Unzilat alayya suratun anifa." a surah came down upon me. So the first thing he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. So the first thing he started with was Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You don't know Hercules? It's not just some comic show. Hercules is actually someone who has a presence in tariq. In Arabic language, they say Hiraqla. In the story of Abu Sufyan, when he went to Hiraqla or Hercules, Abu Sufyan wrote the letter that he was carrying with him from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He read it out on Hercules. First thing that was written on there, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, min Muhammadin Rasulillah ila Hiraqla Azim al-Rum. As-salamu ala man ittaba' al-huda. Aslim taslam, yu'tiyaka Allahu al-ajra marratayn. Started off with the basmala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the great king of Rome, Hercules, salamu ala man ittaba' al-huda. Peace to the individual who follows the guidance. Aslim taslam. Embrace al-Islam and you'll be safe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you two rewards. What are these two rewards? For believing in the Prophet before Muhammad, that's one reward. And the second reward, for believing in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you'll get two rewards. And also what we see from this story, brothers and sisters, Hiraql al-Azim al-Rum, at that time, he didn't believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? Look how he respected him. Hiraql al-Azim al-Rum. The great king of Rome, he wrote that in the letter. He didn't just come and he slammed him or tried to humiliate him or tried to take away from his rabbi. He respected him. And it's a lesson to all of us. We want to call a person to the sunnah. We want to call him, guide him. Do it in the right way. Don't go out belittling him or bringing up his mistakes and his shortcomings, but do it in a very wise way. And your objective and goal from that is to try and bring him closer. Okay, inshallah ta'ala, I think 10 minutes, right? 10 minutes, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to come back. Like I said before, and I'm going to repeat this, brothers and sisters. Al-ilmu sa'ab. The statement that Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, he mentioned. When he was in the Prophet's Masjid, when he saw some of the attendees, you know, get very tired and find what he was saying very difficult. He said, ilm is sa'ab. Knowledge is difficult and it requires a lot of patience. Most people are not patient. And this is why most people don't become scholars. You need patience. You need to go through ta'ab, tiredness, difficulty. People in Damaj, brothers and sisters, they used to live on faqr, poverty. Sometimes nobody would send them money just so they could like carry on seeking knowledge. But you find that knowledge comes to you, and sometimes we in our communities, we really, really unappreciate it. So inshallah ta'ala, after 10 minutes, we're going to carry on and take the next part of the lesson, inshallah ta'ala. We'll try and finish this within three lessons, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala.